This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, as we roll along. Tony D alongside a tired Ron Culver. Ron, why are you tired this morning?
Little League World Series, man.
Little League World Series out of Williamsport. Were you just watching it, or were you watching it because of the local team in your area? Or would you have watched it if it was California?
No, I put it on because, local team in the area, Post Oak Little League, and they were dominating. They were winning this game. They were up, I think, at 1.51. And then, I don't know, Jitters got the best of them, kept getting two outs to eliminate Peachtree, Georgia.
Peachtree, Georgia.
Peachtree, Georgia. And, they couldn't pull it out.
Where are we with this Little League World Series?
Yeah,
are we
no
down
idea.
To, like, three teams now? Or no?
I'm not
Is
sure.
it single elimination? They no, bring all those kids
I know,
up there
I know
and
it's
then
double.
They're out quickly?
No, it's double elimination.
All right. And then you I go saw up there, you want to get some time and have some fun while you're up there.
Yeah. Well, what?
Eliminated in 5 minutes.
Is there fun to do in Williamsport?
I mean, I'm assuming they'll
I thought all they had was Little League baseball fields. Like,
there
wasn't even houses. It's just baseball fields.
I think it's not that far from Hershey Park.
Well, you can have some fun there.
Hershey Park.
Go get some chocolate, ride a coaster.
I don't know where Williamsport is. Throw a dart and I'll find it. But I'm sure it's close enough that you can make a trip to Hershey Park.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania's a big state.
But the game was exciting. I mean, it was
exciting, and you decided, hey, I get up early in the morning, but I'm not going to go to bed and get a good. I'm going to watch this Little League World Series to be part of what everyone in Houston was into.
That, but you also, you know, when you're watching a game and you invest time into it, you got to see it through.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
I've
what
never
happened.
Invested
I
time
had
in
to
a
see
Little
it
League
through.
Baseball game.
It is. It's, but it was exciting.
I know Little League baseball can now, be exciting. I did watch Goodlettsville when they were in, but I didn't. It was just on.
See, the only problem I have with Little League Baseball is that I think they need to make the base pass longer. There was like one kid who was like 7 feet tall. He took two strides and was from first to second in two strides.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that where Pony League comes in? Like Pony League Baseball is a little bit bigger field?
I think so. But I think these kids need to be up on a larger field.
I think you're right. All right, coming up, the AP Top 25 poll was released, and yeah, as you guessed it, people are like, what's this next?
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you'd be with us, SB Nation AM, rolling along. Tony D, Ron Culver, 800-777-2907. If you want to be a part of the program, you can also hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Tony D Radio. Ron is at Ron Culver, and that is Ron with two N's. So Ron Culver with two N's, that's where you can hit him up on Twitter. All right, so before we get to the AP Top 25 poll, and there's not a lot to say much about it, although, of course, people want to nitpick and whatnot. But, I mean, that's almost like a tradition in and of itself in college football, even though it's not going to go anywhere. But, nevertheless, it's still something people want to debate about. It's all bragging rights. That's really what it is. People get worked up over bragging rights. But I want to get to Major League Baseball first, because what we thought could happen, what didn't seem like it was going to, and then after the last couple weeks, we said, oh my goodness, this could actually take place. The Oakland A's have caught the Houston Astros, and both of them are now tied for first in the AL West. The Athletics beat Texas 9-0 last night. Robinson Cano had a 3-run homer in the Seattle-Houston game to lift the Mariners over the Astros, and both teams are 75-50. That is incredible when you think about the Oakland A's, who have no payroll. I think they're paying players with, like, food coupons, have the same exact record as a super team like the Astros, and slightly less than what the Yankees are building in New York. Great job. Billy Beane does this every now and then. He gets a team and he builds it up a little bit and he pops them up and they get into the postseason. Then they disappear and they don't make the playoffs again for a while. And then he does it all over again. It's just this cycle. And one year with this formula, he's going to roll the dice and they're going to win. They're going to win the World Series, or at least go to the World Series and win the American League pennant. He's going to do that. And I know the movie Moneyball makes it painted that it's that those years in the early 2000s were all about his analytics and whatnot. But he had a fantastic pitching staff that movie did not touch on at all. Did not touch on Hudson and Zito and anybody. Didn't touch on any of the pitching. They just touched on the fact that, we're going to take walks and we're not going to bunt and we're not going to give outs away. And we're going to steal bases and all that other stuff. But the Oakland A's, give them credit. I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought the Astros, they were going to start getting healthy. They are a better team on paper than Oakland. Oakland is playing out of its mind lately. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought the Astros would keep them at bay. Just say, stay right there. We see you, but we're not going to acknowledge you. But just stay right there a couple of games out. Thanks for playing. Enjoy that one game playoff. And listen, I still think the Astros win the division, but if the Astros and the Yankees play in this one game playoff, I mean, I never would have thought. I could have seen it with the Yankees because I knew the Red Sox were loaded. I could see it with the Yankees, but not the Astros. My God, not in that division. My goodness gracious. I think Texas was out of first place by like May. I mean, out of the running for anything in the division by like May 3rd. I mean, Houston is such an incredibly loaded baseball team, and the A's doing what they're doing is pretty incredible. All right, so AP Top 25 College Football poll released yesterday. Now, here's my problem. I have this love-hate relationship with college football polling because it's based on something I don't get behind. And what it's based on is a lot of the preseason analysis is how the teams played last year, who they're bringing back. But a lot of it is also the recruiting class, judging that recruiting class as it gets mature, right? So the recruiting class from 2 years ago, how have they developed their freshman year as they go into sophomore years, things like that. And I'm not a huge recruiting guy. I'm a huge college football fan, but it's one aspect of the sport I just don't rally around. I don't like the way it's overblown. I don't like the way it's overly hyped. In a day and age of social media, that has gotten worse, not better, in terms of the attention. I think these kids coming out of high school where they're taking 15 hats and they're putting 15 hats on and you see just a bevy of TV cameras. I think we're just too into that as a sports culture. I know it's never going to go away. People are into it. I get it. And you can make a lot of money if you do it well. If you analyze players and you can put it in publications, you can make a lot of money doing it. People will subscribe to this stuff. They jump all over it. They can't wait. They desperately want players to sign with certain schools. We have no idea if these kids are going to be good or not. It doesn't matter. As long as your class is rated. We do this every February with that National Signing Day. They'll be like, so-and-so got the best recruiting class. And nobody knows if it's true or not. Nobody knows for sure. It's all on platitudes. And what happens is you got these school presidents and then they don't know. So they just look at their school ranking and they ask the coach, why aren't we 10? Why aren't we 5? And everyone's like, no, we got a good class. Well, not according to this magazine or this publication. So a lot of the preseason hype that we get in college football, these polls, and again, if you're complaining because your team is 10th, not 9th or not 7th or whatever, you got to relax a little bit. But again, that's like talking to a wall for some people. Because it's not that they are getting worked up over the poll. It's just that they get worked up in college football, period. It's a very emotional sport. All sports are based in somewhat emotion. Your fandom, it's short for fanatic. But in college football, when you think about how crazy the regular season can be, the intense pressure of regular season games, there's no other sport that has that of the major sports that we cover and that we follow as a society. No, none of them have the intensity of college football regular season. Imagine if the NFL was like that. Imagine if in the NFL, losing a game could cost you a shot at going to the playoffs, like one game. I mean, Ron's a fan of the Chargers. They lose like four games in the first 6 weeks of the season. And then turn it on every year, and then turn it on and close out strong, make the playoffs, and play, get into the postseason. Or sometimes they don't, but they make at least a run for it. Imagine in college football if they had a same similar in the NFL, where like week two, if you were 0-2, that's it, no chance to make the playoffs now. Just play out the string, and maybe we'll go to Boise and play in some exhibition game for fun. College football lays that out for you. Even with its postseason, even with this 4-team playoff, it still says the regular season matters so much. So people get nuts. People go crazy. But I told you what would happen, right? I said, listen, you put a little number next to the teams, all of a sudden regular season matchups become more important to the people outside the bubble. In the bubble, we know that Auburn and Washington is a good game. Now, outside the bubble, they know that number 9 Auburn against number 6 Washington is a good game. Like, that's how it works. It's all a marketing tool. And that's how you can sell it on TV. So the poll means nothing, but it does carry a little bit of significance to people.
So were you surprised to see the defending national champions as number 21?
Yeah, I saw that and I thought to myself, okay, they're going to have a new head coach. In Josh Heupel. And I think Heupel's fantastic. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they've lost or what they've gained, but it's kind of like a nice little Central Florida gets a nice little boost in their poll.
Yeah, they're top 25 team.
Top 25 team. I thought what they did in bragging about winning the national title was fantastic. I know people thought it was have a little fun in this, okay? Have a little fun. UCF, I don't know what they're called. They're called UCF or Central Florida. I've heard it both ways. But I'll go with UCF, since that seems to be the thing they want to go by. UCF last year went undefeated and beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And they went 13-0. And they said they're the real national champs. And they weren't basing it on just going 13-0. They were basing it on the fact that Alabama didn't win the SEC West. The team that won the SEC West but lost in the SEC title game, but anyway, the division winner was the team they beat in the bowl game. So they were doing that thing. What do we talk about? That like kind of 6 degrees of separation where they're like, I beat your team and then we beat you and you beat them. And so we beat you. You know how that works, right? Like you could take a loss and like backtrack it to some like Division II school in Nebraska. And that's what they did. They just took the short way. How can Alabama be the number one team in the country when they have a loss on their record, and that's to Auburn, a team we beat, and we went 13-0? Good for them.
Well, even if you think about it, if you go back before pre-BCS, way, way back, that's pretty much how it was determined. We had many co-champions.
Oh, we had a lot, absolutely.
And UCF would have definitely had a strong argument to be a co-champion, co-national champion.
Colorado has a national championship they share with Georgia Tech, I believe. And I think Washington and Penn State share a national title. If you go back even further, there were three. Some years, like in the 60s, had three because it was all by the poll. There was really no such thing back in like the 60s, really no such thing as a national championship. I mean, there was in a theoretical sense, but not in the way we know it now. You won a championship by winning the poll of the particular entity that was running the poll. So if the UPI had a poll and they had Bear Bryant's Alabama team number one, and another poll like the AP poll had Notre Dame number one, they would just share the mythical national title from that year. But what people played for back in the day was their bowl game. Whatever bowl game their conference was attached to, that's what they wanted. The national championship wasn't something you played for. You just wanted, if you lived in SEC land back in the 50s and 60s, you played to win the Sugar Bowl. Like that was your thing. And if you played like the Big Ten and the Pac-10 back then, you played for the Rose Bowl. And that was it. And then you might win a mythical national title by being on top of the polls. Man, what a arcane way of determining a championship. So insane. You would let a bunch of media guys, overfed, smoking cigars by a typewriter, decide who was going to be the national champion. Who'd you vote for, Charlie? Well, I certainly like Notre Dame. Have you seen him at all this year on that newfangled thing called television? No, I haven't. I haven't seen one down of their games, but I certainly know that they've got a rootin' team up there in South Bend. I'm voting for them number one. That's how they did it. I had a friend of mine. Can I tell, a friend of mine who's a prominent broadcaster. He had a Harris poll vote. Remember when they had the Harris poll and they had like 30 people voting for it, or maybe like 35 people voting for it? And he had a Harris poll vote. And so I was talking to him one time, and he was at some football game I was at, which wasn't important at all. Like, it was Air Force and something, and he was there. And I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing here?" And he was like, "No, I'm just watching some college football." I was like, "Are you not working for broadcasting for anybody?" He goes, "No, I'm just here. You know, I'm a Harris poll voter." I said, "Yeah, I saw that." And he goes, "Yeah, I feel like, you know, if, as a Harris poll voter, I need to be, you know, at games." And I'm like, "Not at this one." Like, this was like Air Force New Mexico. I'm like, "What are you doing here?" Like, and I kind of wanted to lecture him a bit and say, "Listen, man, you're a Harris poll voter. You need to be at home in front of about 8 televisions. You're about ready to vote and put your knowledge on a piece of paper that could determine the national championship. You don't need to be watching the Air Force Falcons play football because we live in Colorado. You should be in front of your TV watching Michigan State. Like, you should be watching Ohio State or Florida or wherever was good at that time. What are you doing? Sitting in a press box eating free food." But again, that's how they determine national championships in college football. They let a bunch of press people decide. And many of them were covering games. It's like the Heisman. I would love to have a Heisman vote because I love the Heisman Trophy. But many of the people who vote for the Heisman Trophy vote for who they see. The guys who vote for the Heisman Trophy are usually guys covering teams and covering conferences. And if you cover a college football beat, it is very difficult to watch other games. Very, very difficult. You see them, like, when I've seen them in press boxes, they're always on the computer looking up, watching, trying to get online games or whatever while they're covering their current game. They want to see as much as possible, but it's very hard to do. When you cover a team, it's an all-day thing. So you don't even have time to watch even like, "Well, I'll watch before I go." Sometimes you can't. So it's just, it's amazing that we walk down that road with college football. 800-777-2907. All right, we're rolling along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us on SB Nation AM. So, Ron, we opened the show by saying Ron was enthralled with the Little League World Series game between Houston and Georgia, right?
Yeah, or we should say Texas and Georgia.
Texas and Georgia. So, well, really, isn't it Southeast versus Southwest?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's because they win their major regional to go to the World Series. So you stayed up to watch the whole thing. I kind of like that in sports. I have had many times where I've watched a game and said, I ain't going anywhere. I'm staying right here. This thing's going into overtime or it's going into extra innings, and I ain't leaving. I got suckered in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I originally turned it on because nothing else was on TV, and I was like, you know what? I put it on because it was getting late, and I was like, you know what? I just want my kids to fall asleep. And they're just sitting out there. I was like, you know, guys, just relax on the couch. Let's watch Little League Baseball. And it's the fact that, hey, you know, it's our hometown. And my son is a big-time baseball player. These kids are only a year, maybe 2 years older than him. And so it was a chance for him to see, look, you could be here too. And you could be alongside these guys.
And so you watched the rest of the game.
Yeah, and then they fell asleep, and I watched. But my wife was right there with me. She didn't want to turn it off either. And she'd be the first one, like, okay, the kids are asleep. Let's watch our shows. And I literally just stuck. I'm like, this is getting exciting.
So what time did it end? Because if it was late for you, was it late on the East Coast?
Oh, I'm sure it was. But it was about 10, 15.
No, it's only an hour. So it's an hour difference. So what time you got done at an hour?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but for those kids, I mean, they were playing baseball into 11 o'clock at night at least.
Yeah, look at that. Well, anything to be on ESPN, to be on, you know, to get, they're doing like the player introductions are kind of cool.
Oh, they're
like,
so much fun.
These kids never get to do this stuff. They're
so much fun.
They're so cool. These kids never get to do this.
They come up to bat and they'll show, you know, who's your favorite actor, what's your favorite movie, what's your favorite band, and all that, you know, just like next to their batting stats. And I was so I was like, I would just love some class clown to be up there and be like, you know, your favorite band, Captain Gee and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. You know, just something off the wall, bizarre. It would be fantastic.
Right? What's it, the kid from New Jersey is getting a lot of run. Big
he
Al.
He is. He's making his play.
He's becoming like he's taking advantage of the fact that he's got a nice personality. He's got kind of a thing going on.
He's got a raspy voice.
Taking advantage of it. He's got a raspy voice. He's big kid. He's Chuck kid. You know, he's fine. I mean,
he'll be
dingers and.
Hopefully he plays in high school. I mean, he might be getting college scholarships just because he hits dingers.
He hits dingers. That's what he does.
College scouts are looking at him because he hits dingers.
Golly, that's great. Oh, the Little League World Series. That's
but no, it was
for
it
parents.
Was,
that must be a great time.
It was exciting. I mean, it was kind of fun. I mean, there was a dad who just lost his mind.
Because this kid did, I saw this on my first reaction was this is the baseball dad I can't stand. But then the more I thought about it, was like, you know what? Yeah, I guess I would lose my mind too.
I mean,
my kid at a tying home run on television.
It was the bottom of the inning. There's two outs, guy on second, and his kid steps up. They're down by two, and he hits a home run. He blows the ball out of the park. It wasn't even close. It was one of those where he could have bat flipped, and no one would have cared.
And
you know, he just lost it. I mean, the dad's sitting there and he's waiting just to make sure it does clear the wall. Who never knows? It could be a gust of wind that just all of a sudden blows the ball back in and clear the fence. And his dad just went nuts, started running up and down the aisles. And all I could picture,
because he's probably thinking,
yeah, all I could picture in my head or all I can hear in my head was Pete Weber, the bowler.
Who had
his iconic moment of saying, "Who do you think you are? I am." And, you know, just all the gestures he was doing. And that's what I was picturing, what he was saying.
You see, here's the thing, though. And this is how we're built as humans. Every parent that was on that Georgia team is elated that he hit the home run. But every dad at the same time is wishing their kid hit the home run.
Oh, of course.
Right? Like, I'm glad our team is winning, but deep down, I wish my kid had done this. And, you know, because, and who knows, maybe he's a very well-loved dad by the other dad in the dad community of that team. But from what I believe about the Little League World Series, and I don't know much about it, but I think this is a collection of all-star kids from a league. And then they kind of play together and then they go on. If I'm not mistaken,
right.
This isn't like a real team that plays all the time together. So this is a relatively new group of people that come together and then they formulate. So maybe he's well-liked. Maybe he's that arrogant baseball dad. Who knows? I don't know. But I know that every dad would be like, oh, yeah, we won or we were leading, but I really wish my kid was the one that did this.
And there is a little bit of like, I guess sadistic
nature.
Because
it's cool when your kid does something awesome like that.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of sadistic nature when it comes to kids playing baseball. I don't want to sound too petty or crass or anything like that, but I do. I was kind of looking for like, okay, which kid's going to make the screw up and start crying?
Of course, that's what happens all the time.
It happens
all
the time.
They all start weeping.
You know, it's like you'll never see that in the majors where, you know, a guy makes a bad throw or, you know, strikes out at the final at bat or pops up when he should have just, you know, could have gotten a base hit. And you never see him just break down and start crying. And that was one of the issues, you know, one of the things you kind of look for is like, all right, who is it this time? Who's going to be crying?
Listen, when I coached fall ball, and I wasn't coaching like the spring little league, I just volunteered to coach fall ball. Me and this other coach, we told the parents, we said, look, it's fall ball. It's relaxed. We're not, you know, it's not competitive. We're just getting the kids in doing some baseball stuff. But we told the parents, look, everybody's going to get a chance to play and pitch. But the kids want to win and they know they want to win. So if we're in a position to win a game and your kid has not pitched ever, he ain't pitching in the game. We're not going to put him in with the bases loaded because think of what would happen if he gave up the winning hit. Some of our kids, you know, are better prepared for it. And every parent understood that. Like, every parent was like, oh, thank God. Because they didn't want the crying mess that happens when they give up the winning home run.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know what's fun about the preseason rankings in college football? Alabama doesn't know who its quarterback is. Clemson at number two doesn't know who its quarterback is. Georgia does, but they have this great kid in Justin Fields that's coming up, this freshman that's coming into camp. Wisconsin's pretty stable. And Ohio State doesn't know who's going to be their head coach on the sidelines in the first week, two, three, four. Those are the top five teams. The storylines of those top five teams in college football are no quarterback, no quarterback, and no coach for number five. And yet they're the top five teams in college football. That just goes to show you this is all on past stuff. I mean, who knows? By the way, Ohio State, when in the world are they wrapping this thing up? I feel like it's been 2 weeks for the last month. When are they wrapping this up?
Wednesday.
When is the committee? Yeah, is that what I'm hearing? Is that what it's going to be, Wednesday?
Well, that's when they're voting.
It's supposed to be like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's going to be a Friday news dump.
Yeah, come on. They really don't want to suspend him, dude. I mean, they don't really want to fire him, do they? They have no interest in that whatsoever. They'll suspend him and they'll give him a slap on the wrist.
Well, I've heard that
there
was going to be
no interest in firing.
It was going to be a suspension time served.
Oh, that's even better.
That's how they were going to do it. It's like he's already been suspended for 2 weeks. Time served. We're done. Moving on.
Time served. Time served when there's no games. It's just camp. This is the weirdest. This is the weirdest. Like. Story.
It'll come out years later that Urban Meyer actually requested a vacation, and they said, "Well, we can't really give you a vacation because it looks bad."
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's middle of camp. But wait, let's do a suspension. That way, you get off free, and he's still getting paid, right?
Yeah, he's still getting paid. I think Darren Rovell tweeted like what Urban Meyer has made since being suspended in the first part of August.
God, sign
but this
me up.
Is, I mean, look,
can I get
outside
suspended
of the series,
and get paid?
Yeah, I know, right? Oh my goodness! Outside of the seriousness of the domestic abuse allegation, right? I mean, which is, I don't want to make light of it. This is a very like when this is all done, this is one of the more bizarre stories we've had, given how it was broken with a reporter who used his own Facebook page to break a story, and then all the little details that came out afterwards. And then Urban Meyer getting suspended, and then this investigation, and then Zach Smith with sex toys delivered to his office. Just, I mean, this is crazy.
I think he's just bidding for a role in Californication.
I think you're right.
He's just a sex addict who you know needs to find his group. That's all it is.
It's kind of got that Hugh Freeze thing going on.
No, I hope
what
he was.
What happened to him at Ole Miss?
I hope the sex toys that were coming to him were in nondiscreet packages.
Yes, of course.
You imagine, your secretary handling that, like, oh, he's got another one.
Yes,
hot.
You got another one of those
Saturday
packages,
night.
Coach. Yeah, it's on the table in the conference room. Oh, thanks. I'll take it in here.
No, I'm surprised.
Bet you will.
I'm surprised the store hasn't came out and said, "Hey, that was mine. That was ours. Give us the
pub." Yeah, exactly. That's ours. Of course, we've been delivering to Zach Smith for years. He's one of our top clients.
We treat all sexual deviants the same way.
Jumped up and down with that, of course. Golly. Ohio State. First of all, they're not firing Urban Meyer. We've been saying this since the beginning. They're not firing Urban Meyer. And if they do, all right. I'll be the first to say I was wrong. But I'm 100% sure they're not going to fire him.
Yeah, because if they do, he's
suspend
taking
him for the game against Radford or whatever.
He's going to take the whole program down with the whole school down with him.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And I think that's what's taking so long is that they're kind of crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and just sitting there looking like, how much dirt does he have on you? What can we get
They've
away
got,
with?
They got a game against TCU in week three. This is going to be a two-game suspension. I guarantee it. We'll roll past Oregon State and Rutgers with Ryan Day at the helm, but when TCU comes a-knocking, we better be ready to go.
I can totally I'm picturing it now. They're bringing them into a meeting and going, hey, okay, you're kind of what you do with your kids when they're younger. Why don't you choose the punishment?
Yeah, why don't you choose the punishment?
What do you think is fair to you? We're very angry. Well, we're very upset, but we need you to decide.
And Meyer will be like, well, you know, being at my house when my student athletes are working out in the hot blazing sun. Just knowing that sitting in my air conditioning house is just not being out there with them is more than I can bear. So I think I've served my punishment by being home paid while my coaches ran camp.
Now, Tressel was fired, right? Or was Tressel forced to resign?
Tressel was forced to resign.
And that was over. That was over money.
Yeah, this was it was over tattoo. What happened was
tattoo. Yeah, but
it was tattoos. Like it was illegal merchandise for tattoos.
Right. Listen, what, money yeah, or
this is basically what happened. The student athletes had merchandise, and they traded it away for tattoos. But Tressel was kind of on the. It was not he was on the hot seat, but he had a good. Terrell Pryor was on the team, and he was part of that. And there was a couple other big players, and this was close to the end of the season, so he didn't want it to come out before their Sugar Bowl matchup, and then he didn't want to go into next season with them being suspended. So he didn't think it was. He tried to cover it up, and he covered it up. Then the NCAA came, and he lied to the NCAA, and then next thing you know, it kind of spun out of control, and the cover-up was worse than the crime. So when the NCAA came kind of knocking and he was lying to them, the school was like, we ain't doing that. And plus, you know, we probably should part ways anyway. And that was really the catalyst. Because I remember screaming about this, like, we made the NCAA like the, you know, Gestapo police, for crying out loud. Like, we made them so important in our world that we haven't separated in a lot of college football people's minds. We've not set. Lying to the NCAA is the equivalent of lying to the FBI, which it isn't. There were no laws that were broken because they gave merchandise for tattoos and they act like this was a crime. And that's like the NCAA being so imposing. And I'm thinking Jim Tressel lost his job over this. Jim Tressel lost his job over tattoos. Like, it was crazy. But it wasn't tattoos. It was, he covered up, and there was some recruiting stuff. And he was covering up some sins, and they basically caught him. And don't lie, you know, obviously don't lie to your own boss, and don't lie to your boss's boss, and don't ever lie to the governing body that runs whoever you work for. So in the case of Jim Tressel, he lied to the governing body that Ohio State obliges to, the NCAA. And that's not going to be cool. If you were a mail clerk and you worked for Company A and the CEO from New York came in and you lied to about the operations of your company to the CEO who's coming in for a visit, you'd be fired too. So that's basically how Tressel got let go. That's basically how that went down. But it was a weird time. But Urban, in this case, that's what I was early in this story, Ron. I was saying that I didn't think Urban Meyer was going to get fired, but I did say, look, we are talking about Ohio State, and no matter who is the head coach at Ohio State, it doesn't matter who that is. Nobody is bigger than the Ohio State. So the school is always, that's not the case all the time. Like, if you go to if you go to Rutgers, for example, and like Greg Schiano, and you turn that football program around, you're going to be bigger than the school. If you go to Vanderbilt and you get them in the SEC championship game, while you may not be bigger than the school academically and historically, because Vanderbilt's a prestigious institution, athletically, you'll be bigger than the athletic department at Vanderbilt. Right? There are schools that if you land a big-time coach and he takes you to the next level, you won't get rid of him. He'll run the town, that kind of thing. Urban Meyer that's not the case at Ohio State. No matter how big Urban Meyer is, that's not the case at Ohio State. They got rid of Woody Hayes for the punching the Clemson player. They got rid of Jim Tressel for lying to the NCAA. They'd get rid of Urban Meyer if the sin of what Zach Smith did and he knew about it and covered it up or whatever was big enough to warrant that firing. I just don't think they're going to find that. And I think you're right in that. I think there's more web here for Urban Meyer. And I think when he said he told somebody higher up, I think they're like, yeah, maybe he really did. And we didn't do something either. I think there's a little bit of culpability that's floating around the athletic office, and they want to wrap this up as quickly as possible. So they'll let Urban fall on the sword for a little bit, keep his job. He falls on the sword for two games, and then it goes away. And that's it. And that's how this is going to run, because that's basically how college football runs itself sometimes. Because if Urban Meyer is correct, and he told somebody up the chain, and somebody up the chain is as part of this as Urban Meyer is. But I'm not an Urban Meyer fan. I didn't think he would get fired on day one. I absolutely don't think he's going to get fired now. I don't think anybody does. I mean, I don't see anybody still calling for his head, do you?
No, in a way, I think it's playing into Ohio State's favor just because it's slowly dying out. I think the only thing we want is, like, just give us an answer. We just want to know what the outcome is going to be so we can move on.
Yeah, so if you know, let's figure out what the answer is. But it also is, I'm curious from this standpoint because of I had this rant about a week ago that I don't like football culture. Like, I don't like the way football is overshadowing, you know, real concerns, right? Whether it is overheating an athlete because you want him to toughen up during a workout, or we got to cover up domestic violence from our wide receivers coach because he's an integral part of us winning games. If the report is this was not handled properly, okay, then I want Ohio State to acknowledge that and change it. But if it isn't, I mean, if it's nope, it went up the chain. It wasn't maybe not administratively done right, but you know, systematically, Urban Meyer didn't do anything wrong. He told the right people and kept rolling. I mean, there's still the unanswered question: if Meyer was so outraged by this, why did he fire him when Brett McMurphy's report came out? When Brett McMurphy's report came out, that's when he fired Zach Smith. He didn't fire Zach Smith because of anything else. So he either knew about it and said it's okay, we'll work through it, or he absolutely didn't know about it, and the Brett McMurphy report comes out and he says, oh my gosh, is this true? And he finds out it's true, and then he fires him. So either way, and then we found out that necessarily wasn't true because he reported something higher up. So there's a little song and dance here, but it's not going to lead to Urban Meyer getting canned. Are you kidding? Michigan's ranked 14th in the poll, and they got Shea Patterson, a quarterback, and that might actually be a great thing for the Wolverines. You got to win that game at the end of the season on November 24th. But they've got three top 10 opponents. I mean, right now on the schedule, they got three top 25 opponents in the first 5 weeks of the year. In the month of September, they play TCU and Penn State. So whatever suspension Urban Meyer's on, he better make sure he's back for at least one of those games if you're Ohio State. And again, that's football culture ruling the day. All right, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and SB Nation AM.
You're listening to The Break on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, let's have some fun with the New York Mets, shall we? Their game last night against the San Francisco Giants at Citi Field. The Mets lose 2-1 in 13 innings. How they lose, though, is so typical Mets. With a chance to end the top of the 13th inning, a fly ball out into the outfield. Amed Rosario, Dominic Smith, both underneath and trying to make the catch. Oh, they collide into each other on the pop fly. Ball's on the ground. Andrew McCutchen is going to score for the Giants, and they go up 2-1. Oh, Dominic Smith and Amed Rosario in the Keystone Cops performance of the night, and the Mets go on to lose 2-1. Collided in the outfield. Don't they're supposed to say, I got it? Aren't they supposed to do in the Little League? Don't we learn that early? What are you colliding with your players for? Aren't you supposed to yell somebody off?
Have we had a more comical season in recent memory?
It's been great. I know we're gonna. I hope we have like two or three more of these before the season.
Because I mean, it's almost storybook.
I know. The ball ticked off a Rosario's glove, fell to the ground. They gave the error to Dominic Smith. Who cares? Who got the error? Both of them looked foolish, going underneath the pop up. I got it. Whoop.
And literally, I saw the same thing happen in Little League yesterday, but you kind of expect it.
Yeah, in Little League, it happens a lot. Yeah,
they you know, second baseman, center fielder going after the same ball. Center fielder obviously has a much better play on it. And second baseman at the last second backs off on it. Center fielder didn't even make a play, and it drops to the ground.
The way it was been described, and you watch the video, it's Rosario was calling off Smith, and Smith, I guess, didn't care. just plowed into Ahmed Rosario, who was playing short. It was a simple pop-up. He was playing, Dominic Smith was coming in from left field. But you got to, I mean, there's also those baseball rules. Like if it's in certain areas, it's if it's somebody's responsibility and you can call them off or they can call you off. It's, you can't collide into each other.
They've given us a verb this year. We can say Metzian now, right?
Metzian now, yeah.
It's a Metzian thing to do.
It's a Metzian thing to do. Exactly.
Other baseball teams who make a mistake, it's like, you pulled a Met.
Yeah, you pulled a Met. Exactly. That's been this entire season. Bat out of order, pull out a Met. Get your pitcher foot and mouth disease, pull out a Met.
How do you get hoof and mouth disease?
And foot and mouth disease.
I'm calling it hoof.
Ugh, what a year. Start 12-1 and finish in last place in the division. What a Metsian thing to do. Good job. But you know what they're doing really well? They're beating Philadelphia. They beat Philadelphia all the time. Thank you. The Atlanta Braves are thanking God that they keep beating Philadelphia. Because the Braves lost 4 to Colorado and still got in first place.